Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
Yeah, let's get it. A live edition of Talk of Champions. We are back. I'm Billy Embody. With me is Ben Garrett, one of my colleagues at the Ole Miss Spirit, an affiliate of On3. Ben, how you doing in the little studio there?
The little Riverland Roofing Studios, where I always come to you from. Riverland Roofing, our friends, power everything we do at Talk of Champions, man. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. For all your roofing needs, and few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss Athletics in the NIL name, image, and likeness space. So hit up our friends at Riverland Roofing, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. I'm good, man. It's been a interesting 24 hours in the Ole Miss, you know, internet world.
What happened? I mean, what? I don't know.
See, here's the thing, man. I know I'm old because this story about fathers and sons that has hit Ole Miss, the Ole Miss viral internet.
Shout out Bunky on that. I got to give him credit. I love the Wright Thompson tweet. That was great.
That's perfect. My guy Bunk always gets that. He understands the assignment and he never misses.
Never.
But I know I'm old, Bill, because my first reaction to it, and I get why it's already something that people are into. It's all the principles are straight out of central casting. You know, you got this blonde, you got this dad and who looks like the quintessential sleazeball, and the Patrick Schwarzenegger like son who's staying with the girl. Here's the bottom line. I'm out on it from the get go. I only talk about it to start, and we only bring it up to start because it's what everybody's talking about.
Everyone.
And we know, the one thing that we can't let this be lost. I get all the jokes. I get all the fun. It's the most 2025 story you could possibly come up with.
And it happened in the offseason.
And it happened in the offseason. It's a blessing for content. But this dad is a piece of crap. Period. Yeah. We can't lose the plot, man. I know in 2025, nothing shocks us anymore. No. I know that like the moral rot and the moral decay is to a point where it's just like, oh yeah, of course that's something that can happen, right? I get it. But this dad,
it's messed up.
Is messed up. True villain story arc here, man. Like, listen, I've been with my high school sweetheart for a long time. All right. Temptation is real. I get all of the excuses you could possibly make. You're a dad, bro. That's like one of the day one rules is, you know? So as messed or as fun as some of the jokes are and how easy they are. I mean, this is just catnip for Twitter.
Yeah.
Don't lose sight of what's really at stake here. I mean, this is a dad who did just one of the most vile and awful things. You're ruining your relationship with your son off of, I mean, no sex is that good. Yeah. It's just true. Like, I think my buddy Neil said it best. You know, no sex is that good that you would ruin your relationship with your son, create this. I mean, there's no coming back to this. That will define these three people for a generation. And that is both a tragedy, funny, You know, there's always a little humor and tragedy, but dude, this dad, that's all I can, that's why I'm out on it, man. I know I'm too old, because the first thing I thought was like, really, bro? Really? Like, of course you see all the comments, would. Of course you see all of that online, all right, from all ages. It's just part of it. And maybe I know I was part of that culture at one time.
Yeah.
But all I want to do is look this dad in the face and go, man, we're supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and you think this, if God is real, which is the only thing that matters, if God is real, like, you really think you getting through the gates?
And by the way, I mean, like you said, temptation, whatever. I mean, isn't it a pretty good, like, you know, you could have a good time where at insert SEC school or whatever, if you're a dad, and not do something this, you know, bad.
To your son, man.
Yeah.
To your son, man. I mean, come on. And the girl has agency. The son has agency. He could have broken up with her. She could have not done it. At the end of the day, they're stupid, dumb kids. What do stupid, dumb kids do? We've all been stupid, dumb kids. We get bored and have sex. That's what stupid, dumb kids do. Okay? The only way is to keep society from falling into complete moral despair is for the guardians of this, supposedly the adults in the room, step up and say, hey. But no, you've got them actively participating. I'm out on the story, Bill. I'm going to be honest with you. It's just, it's everything about it is skeezy. It's terrible. And I don't even know if it's all true, because in this day and age, anything can be true and nothing can be true. But at the end of the day, it's all about the story that gets bursted out for 24 hours. And then whatever happens from there, no one cares anymore. For what we know about it, this dad's a piece of crap. That's all I can think about, man. Like, be the hands and feet of Jesus. Love your neighbor. What are you doing? Don't sleep with your son's girl. That is day one stuff.
Yeah. And look, there's tons of content on this on the internet if you want to go dive deeper into it. But there's no content about it at the Ole Miss Spirit. Philly on 3. You could sign up for just $1. Talk recruiting, talk football, talk baseball. Talk basketball with us on the message board all day, every day. Shout out Jerry listening in Pascagoula. He said, hey, Ben, you are the man.
Oh, let's
go. How about that?
I needed that tire pump, Jerry. Let's go.
Start this hump day off. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that was a bad pun.
That choice for today.
Yeah.
Bill.
Little hump day show. Talk about humping. Anyway. All right.
Oh, Bill. You didn't have to lay it out for God and everybody. We knew what the implication was. Oh, gosh. See, again, adults in the room. Adults, we got to be better.
That's period. Why I lean on you, Ben.
There you go.
Speaking of another tough story, I know you and Michael Katz talked about it on yesterday's show to kick off this week and earlier this week. But Trey Hall lost for the season, most likely with an Achilles injury. Our own Chuck Ronsville confirming that. Speedy back was brought in from the junior college ranks to kind of bolster that running back room. And the nice thing is, you know, 4-year to play guy with the new JUCO rule. But now, as we sit here, Ben, less than 2 weeks away from spring ball, right? If I'm, you know, February always screws everybody up. No, 3 weeks away. Yeah, 3 weeks away. Spring ball. Mm-hmm. Countdown can't get here soon enough. This impact on the running back room, you know, just your final thoughts on it, and we'll get into a quick overarching question on the Rebel spring ball here shortly too.
It doesn't change anything for me.
Yeah.
In terms of what the construction of their offense is going to be for next year, what it does is reignite concerns about one of the biggest problem areas for Ole Miss last year. At the end of the day, Ole Miss, it seems at least on paper, is better equipped if, like what happened last year, Henry Parrish goes down, their lead guy. They didn't have an answer for how to replace him. You thought it was Ulysses Bentley, but we all know what happened with that story and what it took to get Ulysses Bentley some carries. This time, yes, Trey Hall, you don't want to lose that guy. He wasn't going to lead the room. He wasn't. You're actually buying a lottery ticket right now. That's what you're doing when you go get a JUCO guy. It's actually a very rare thing this day and age. The old days, Ole Miss would go get Wayne Dorsey, the 5-star from Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College defensive end. That was the plug and play. Yeah, give him about 6 games because JUCO's taking him in, but that was the plug and play. Now JUCOs have been completely lost in this transfer culture.
Yeah, completely. and And I would love to see, Ole Miss continues to kind of mine it, check all the boxes with the junior college ranks that are in the state. But, you know, there are still some good players in there and guys that can help your roster. And I'll add, because everything ties back to money these days, and maybe we'll talk about the luxury boxes that you and I are going to get here soon. But these guys can generally be a little bit more, you know, on the cheap, so to speak, rather than having to go out and try to get a $750,000 day one starter.
Yeah. Where it hurts is in the allocation of your resources, because money is finite, right? So for Ole Miss, yes, they swam in the waters of all those top ranked transfer running backs, Malachi Hughes, Ahmad Hardy, pick your guy, Justice Hayes. The ask for those guys compared to what Ole Miss values running back at that number didn't match, didn't meet. So they were trying to address all of these needs. You're replacing 18 of 22 starters by maybe going strictly on an evaluation call with a JUCO player in a market that is completely dormant. Go find you a guy that you like, and maybe you hit on him, and it costs far less than, you know, over $500,000. Because one running back, Justice Hayes, wasn't going to turn Ole Miss from a, you know, 8-win team to an 11-win team. That's not what was going to happen. So that's where it hurts, is because you've just been hit as far as money allocation and trying to, you know, just trying to game the system a little bit, because money is, you know, you've got to figure out where you really got to spend, go a little over, or where you got to pull back. And I think Ole Miss at running back knew it, one guy wasn't going to solve it. Also, go get as many as possible that they think is good, and this was one of them. But as far as the makeup of the room, it doesn't change anything. But it puts into focus, again, well, you didn't pay he who shall not be named, right? So it's all going to come back to that, because he went and won a national championship. Running back was one of your biggest problems offensively, top two, and it probably wasn't two. But the offensive line is still, in my opinion, of far more significance than running back anyway. If you'd have told me Diego Pounds went down when they're going through this fat camp that they're going through, that's what he told me. I see Diego at an Ole Miss recruiting camp, and he's wearing this weird-looking vest. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, dude, we're going to fat camp for like 2 weeks. And sure enough, they're just out there doing like heavyweights, you know, embracing the chi, rejecting the monkey or whatever it is. So like if Diego had gone down, that's a big piece, because I can far less put together Ole Miss's starting 22 for 2025 without Diego Pounds than I could without Trey Hall. And it's no disrespect to Trey Hall. He could have been that guy. Yeah. But – I don't think necessarily that was the case. It's just unfortunate, because now, again, you thought you'd addressed it. You thought you'd figured it out, and maybe you have to address it again. But I would still argue, in my opinion, cornerback is the biggest issue waiting on him in the portal for the spring window anyway, even with running back popping up. Because, look, Logan Diggs didn't play at all but the Gator Bowl. You're essentially getting a new addition there anyway. On top of that, you've added Kewon Lacy, who you really, really wanted out of high school, a four-star prospect. You went and signed Shekai Mills, not a four-star running back. You had options in high school to add another one, but you said, this is our dude. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I don't think there's so much a concern as, oh, gosh, have you done enough? It's a reassessment of, well, we know what the numbers were last year. I still think this spring portal coming, it's cornerback, cornerback, cornerback. Find it, and Tennessee starting cornerback just got into the portal, Bill. Yeah. You know,
yeah, it's a good segue. Is you know, spring football at Ole Miss Spirit will be powered by our friends at Riverland Roofing, of course. But you know, Ole Miss, they've got some questions this spring. What's your big one that you're watching closely? Maybe you just alluded to it a little bit there.
Oh yeah, I mean, like the biggest spring question is, are they going to actually practice? I know that sounds silly, and you're like, well, but we don't even know what they're going to truly do. I very seriously doubt that the team that started the whole not having a spring game trend that is now taking over college football, I very seriously doubt that Ole Miss is going to do an about face and suddenly have like a traditional spring game. So what can you learn when the structure of it, the format of it, is intentionally like it is to discourage kids from moving on? That's it. I mean, they want to protect their roster. So they don't want kids to see, you won't see a depth chart. You're not going to see, any kind of position battle stuff, they're going to keep it so tight-lipped. And what are they really going to do? So understanding that that is the framework we're working with here, still, they got to figure it out with the secondary, because they have no returning starter back there that makes any kind. I mean, Jaden Kennedy would have been, but now he's at Oregon. So Jalen Braxton can play corner or safety. I've heard he's played a little bit of safety so far. Was signed as a corner, but that's one. And ideally, he replaces Trey Amos, but you tried to get more opposite him and weren't able to get it done. Trey Washington is a piece that not enough people are talking about having lost now. Four-year starter at safety. John Saunders was a tremendous addition for Ole Miss for 2 years for Miami of Ohio. There are so many pieces in the secondary that we haven't even talked about enough about what they lost and what it means. Yeah, it's easy to talk about Walter Nolan. It's easy to talk about Princely Umanmielen and Jared Ivey. But Trey Washington started for 4 years, and their entire – yes, their entire defensive line is gone, but we know the next guy's up. William Eccles, Cam Franklin, Jeffrey Rush, Cam Beavers. We know the names. Tell me the names for the Ole Miss secondary. TJ Banks, Nick Cole. Maybe Chris Graves. They still got some love and faith in him. Maybe Preston Broomfield's coming. There are guys that you can point to, but at the end of the day, if this secondary isn't not necessarily as – I mean, it's going to have to hold up better than this year, because this year the defensive line was setting records, you know, getting back to the quarterback. And I think for this secondary to be a little bit more stouter, they're not starting at the best place because they lost everything. And that is the biggest question.
And I would say on the offensive side of the ball – I'll talk about that in just 1 second, but the secondary is going to be really intriguing too, because as spring goes along and the portal window gets going, you know, that's the time where Ole Miss is going to really want to add at least one more in the secondary. And if it's the instant impact starting, you know, type, then great. Then that they can add one and they'll feel a lot better about the secondary. But like you said, finding somebody that is going to be your Trey Amos in terms of production and quality, that's a very difficult thing to do, but that's what this defense needs. That's that missing piece. Ole Miss is in a position where we know all the changes on offense. I mean, there's a lot. And Austin Simmons takes over and all of those things. But defensively, they're not far off from still having one of the best defenses in college football. But that secondary was so good, and they did lose that level of a player. So I'm with you. That is my biggest question. But I will say there is another question for me, and that's on the offense. And I look at the offensive line, and it's going to be really intriguing to see where John Garrison toys around with that group a little bit. You know, you brought in Patrick Kudus. You brought in Delano Townsend. You brought in Christian Wilkins. You brought in some other guys in that room to shore things up. And the big battle is going to be along that interior, in my opinion.
You know,
that's where you need to figure things out, because you have a guy in Bryson Sanders who's highly thought of and you know, thinks a lot of people think he can be that next guy at center. But man, Patrick Kudus is not going to let that spot go. I mean, he can really quarterback that offensive line, and playing that, for lack of a better term, game of managing someone's expectations internally is where spring ball has gone completely off the deep end now. And it is, I mean, to simplify it, I guess, the spring ball is almost useless from an overall developing your chemistry, developing your just gelling of your guys, because you need to get so-and-so snaps. You need to get so-and-so snaps at this spot, that spot. You need to kind of show them a little bit what they could get opportunities at in fall camp when the battles really start, so that they don't enter the transfer portal. And that's where most everybody's doing it in college football. And quick sidebar, Jed Fish, the Washington coach, said, you know, an NFL model might make more sense, where you have the portal window once a year in spring, which, by the way, would stop kids from quitting on a new staff or a new coach, you know, whatever, and allow them to finish out their whole academic year. You have your portal, your free agency, so to speak, and then you can have your OTAs in June. You can get those guys around and do install and things like that, like the NFL model. So I hope it goes that way. I know it's not necessarily good for business for us because it takes away the year-roundness, but it might put a better product on the field overall for these teams.
I think it would be better for the product. I think it'd be better for what we do. First of all, think about it this way. Even like the old days of getting guys snaps, like you're discouraged as a coach from getting guys snaps, from developing them in any material way in the spring, because then they'll go, oh, look, I figured it out. Let me go get in the portal. There's so many different angles to this and considerations that are beyond what spring is supposed to be intended for. Mm-hmm. Developing newcomers, developing mid-year enrollees, developing young guys who, like a Bryson Sanders, is stepping into a starting role. And instead, it's let's go eat hot dogs against Joey Chestnut because I want all of you to stay through the spring, which I completely get. And I would do the exact same thing.
Great for the kids.
Great for the kids. They have a great time. Viral content, all these things. Lane's actually brilliant in that way because it gets you headlines in a period when college football has muted, if not completely washed away, all of its own headlines of the spring. You're right, the year-roundness. So if anything, the spring portal being the only portal would keep us busy, right? It would bring back more of a traditional signing day that we could all in the sport celebrate that we miss to this day. You know, that all day waking up at 5 a.m.
We're not sleeping.
No, but the thing is, and it was a pain in the butt to work because, you know, work is work is work. But also it was uniquely college football.
Yep.
So you can rebuild some of those tent poles that made college football, made us all fall in love with it like we did in the first place. And then you're adding content in the summer with OTAs.
I like because it.
OTAs are, yeah, like the questions become obvious. Yes, Bryson Sanders is the next man at center, but Patrick Kudus has some real experience there. But then there's questions about the interior guard. If Patrick Kudus is not one of the starting guards, who is? Delano Townsend, probably. You know that Diego, or expect Diego Pounds to start tackle. What if Diego Pounds regresses? What if Jaden Williams isn't healthy? Is Percy Lewis, who's been a journeyman so far in his career, is he really ready to step in and start for an SEC contender or a team that at least is fashioning itself a contender? Those are all questions that would be unbelievable for OTAs.
Yes.
Not for a spring period that ends with tug of war.
All right. One more sidebar because two packaged into one here. Lane Kiffin was in my neck of the woods, Dallas, this past weekend, hanging out at Katy Trail Ice House for us locals here. Anybody listening in Dallas with Jason Garrett and Babe Laufenberg, spending some time with them.
Jason Garrett just gave me like when the hair stood up on the back of my neck.
Man, well, I'm about to tie back to formally Ole Miss here. Because the combine is kicking off today, and Princely Umanmielen just said that he expects to meet with the Cowboys this week. So there you go, Ben.
Do not tease me. Do not tease me with.
The Cowboys should draft Jackson Dart maybe in the second round if he slips. Let's go.
Jackson Dart's going in the first round. That's my hot take for Ole Miss Rebels in the draft. Jackson is going in the first round. There's too much momentum. Too many quarterback needy teams. He's played his way. Like, he went into the process after the Gator Bowl probably in the third, fourth round discussion. Yep. But now he is firmly in the first round discussion because of the quarterbacks in front of him. There are only two, Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. And there's not any kind of separation between the three at all. When you really break it down, what we evaluate these things on, you know? Like, he is – just as much a projectable quarterback prospect for the NFL as Shedeur is. It's just so, like, why are you going to spend top 10, top 5 capital when you can go get a comparable player in the back end? But there's a lot of teams that are going to be thinking that way. So I'm like, he's locked into the first round. But Princely, I love the idea of Princely as a Dallas Cowboy. But again, I don't wish that for him because he is an Ole Miss Rebel. And I am a Dallas Cowboy. I have been my entire 38 years of existence. Since fourth grade, I've been tortured by this team. I had a dream last night that I was told Nick Sirianni, thank you for wearing A.J. Brown's Starkville jersey in his post Super Bowl press conference. That just tells you how crazy I love the NFC East. I love the Cowboys. I used to hate the Eagles, and now they're haunting my dreams, and I don't even care. And Princely, who always, I just, if I can get an Ole Miss Rebel to be on the Cowboys, Sam Williams did it, got hurt. Jonathan Mingo is on there now, but he's still trying to figure it out. A second team after getting drafted in the second round. Princely, go somewhere where you will be developed and appreciated, and they will not drag out your contract negotiations. If you get a star on your helmet, I will completely lose it and think it's great. But I will count down the days till you can go be with a real organization. So I think Princely and Jared and Walter and Jackson Dart, you could have four. And if you get four, that's the most in program history. All of them have gotten at least one first round draft projection, and Trey Amos has gotten one too. And Trey Amos probably has the most to gain outside of Jackson Dart, who is throwing this week. Shedeur Sanders is not. Jackson is throwing. That's smart. I mean, that's smart.
Keep the train rolling.
Yeah, so Jackson's going to have a good week because, of course, he's going to test well against air. But Trey Amos, he was banged up. He had to leave the Senior Bowl. He got a first-round draft pick, grade two. So there's five real candidates for the first round. And if you get three, you tie 2016 for the most ever in the first round. Laquan, Rob, and Laramie, who's still in the league. But if you get four, you break it. And, again, we would all come on here and go, dead gummit. They lost three games with this team. They lost three games with this team.
When you're going to go see Princely up in Dallas, you should jump on with our friends at Status Jet. Jump on a plane, Ben. Come on up to AT&T Stadium and use Status Jet to get there. Our friends over there provide a discount to Ole Miss Spirit subscribers and listeners on the podcast. By mentioning Ole Miss Spirit, you get a discount on a round-trip flight. So if you can, check it out. It's perfect for spring breaking, for work, taking clients, or family trips, or hard-to-get places. Status Jet can plan you the experience of a lifetime. So reach out to them today, statusjet.com. Proud supporters of the Ole Miss Spirit. All right. Speaking of the supporters, man, the Ole Miss baseball diehards right now are feeling pretty good about the start of this season. Another top 25 win this week as the Rebels beat Southern Miss. That's always a good thing to beat an in-state school. And
the mustard buzzards, Bill. The mustard buzzards.
15-8. Holy cow.
Yeah, look. I'm trying not to, as Ole Miss baseball fans know, when they went on this journey with me and Brad Sal in 2022, the Kool-Aid journey, I'm trying not to drink the Kool-Aid on this team. I'm really trying not to. But then they go and beat Southern Miss 15-8. And they flash more power. And power was the question about this team in the fall. Mike Clement was on this, Ole Miss hitting coach, was on this podcast on Monday saying that, hey, man, in the fall, I didn't know if we were going to be that powerful. And it's come, and it's come in bunches. And Wednesday, or today's Wednesday, Tuesday was no different against Southern Miss. Ryan Moorman has been a baller to start the year, and he had a bad fall. He actually went into Clem's office and was like, hey, man, don't y'all give up on me. Good thing they didn't. He's off to a blistering start. Mitchell Sanford's been what they needed him to be so far. Isaac Humphreys has been good. They've had that power that maybe they didn't expect early on. Hunter Elliott's been himself. And the depth of options of their pitchers, man, how can you not be encouraged? I still think that this is probably a two seed somewhere, but they're making me start to believe, because when you get three ranked wins in your first seven games, considering what Ole Miss is coming off of, back-to-back losing seasons after winning that title, you can't dismiss it. And I think the biggest tell so far was getting run ruled by Texas, that non-competitiveness, and then turning around and whipping Clemson.
Yeah.
Responding, because past teams would not have responded well, and Ole Miss responded well against Clemson, which is a good team. Now, Arizona, you could say, well, we don't know if they're very good right now, so really how good was that ranked win? Fine. But then to go from Clemson to beat up on Eastern Kentucky, which isn't any good. Ole Miss would have lost one of those three games in the previous 2 years, you know, and you go, oh, well, they won the series. No, they beat the crap out of a team that was not good, then turned around and played a good team in Southern Miss and beat them up. Now, Southern Miss's pitching wasn't, you know, they had a tough weekend, man. They had to use a lot of guys, so they're a little shorthanded in that way. But take nothing away from Ole Miss, man. Like, they're hitting. They're playing much better defense. Owen Pano got off the schneid, started 1 for 17, got him his first home run, first big fly. Campbell Smithwick, he's got a home run already. There's so many encouraging signs, and that's why I'm trying to avoid the Kool-Aid, Bill, but it is not working. It's not. I'm completely buying in. But when I say completely buying in, I'm saying I buy that they'll be a postseason team. Old days, that meant, oh, yeah, they're going to host a regional and then go to – and then host probably a super regional. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this is a postseason team, because if it's not, with the pieces, I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about it. That's an entirely different conversation. I think this is a postseason team, and that's really all that matters, because you got that horse, Hunter Elliott, leading the front end into a 3-game series. I'll take him over anybody.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No doubt, and hopefully that results in a bus tour up to Omaha. Mm-hmm. But we're gonna, you know, keep that on the DL a little bit, not get ahead of ourselves. You know, after all, it's not even March yet.
Don't tease me with a good time, because I will load up with Ole Miss Spirit subs in a tour bus. I've got my buddy Brock Inosaki. He'll hook it up. You know, well, maybe just a few of us will roll out together. Maybe get an old baseball, like get Sykes Orvis to load up or something. No, get my guy, Greg Kessinger. Well, he'll be in season by that point. But, yeah, like, don't tease me with a good time, because Omaha is the best trip. And it's the most quintessential Ole Miss trip, too, because baseball is very localized, regionalized, man. And very few programs really care about it. Ole Miss is one of them. And that's why the last 2 years has been so brutal. It's not just because they didn't make the postseason, didn't go to the College World Series. It's non-competitiveness for one of the few programs that really care about it. Let's not do that. You know what I mean? It's so far the pieces they added in the portal, they didn't hit it like they needed to. They'll tell you that. They'll be the first to admit it. They didn't hit it like they needed to initially, but they did this all season, and it looks like they've done some good work and really found some guys like Will McCausland and Alex Caney, who didn't come from like LSU and, you know, other big transfer schools like that. They came from Tampa, Division II.
Hey, stand up, hometown.
Hey, and St. Joe's. And St. Joe's is, you know, he will pitch to a 5 ERA in his career there. But they saw something, a real elite strike thrower, one of their better strike throwers. And then he goes out against Southern Miss and gets them started. So there's a lot to like about this team. I'm still holding my breath, because if you don't, you're just being a dummy. You know, we've seen what it's been for 2 years, but that game against Southern Miss is what you're used to seeing with Ole Miss baseball. Yeah, they can get a slugfest with anybody, and, you know, there's a lot to like. I'm trying to hold back the hopium, Bill, and it's a struggle right now. Also, I realized that I talked about the Cowboys this whole time wearing my Bears hat, only because
hey, very on brand for a Cowboys fan.
Well, because we've had nothing to truly celebrate since fourth grade in 1996. And the Bears logo is still one of the coolest. I love it. I think it's great. I have no interest in the Bears. I just like the logo.
Speaking of logos, want to mention very quickly our friends at Roback, roback.com, ROBACK.com. Pick up this polo for your golf rounds coming up. The spring is hitting. They've got some really, really nice designs on here. We're expecting them to get true Ole Miss gear for the fall, which will be exciting for you guys. And use our code OLEMISS20. That's Ole Miss, the number 20 or numbers 20, to get 20% off your first order today. Check them out, roback.com. Appreciate their support of us as well. And Ben, look, if the Rebels can pull off an upset over number one Auburn, that would be elite. But at the very least, let's all make sure, if you're in attendance tonight on the Plains, that you look good at least. I don't know if you get Roback by then, but another reason to you know, maybe have it in the closet for next time.
The last time Ole Miss was in the state of Alabama playing basketball.
That's true.
Secured their first ever top five win or road win over a top five opponent in program history. So they're not beating Auburn tonight.
Yeah.
Now, they could, because I believe in this Ole Miss basketball team and the style of play that got them here. But they haven't been playing that style particularly well or efficiently for about a month now. Mm-hmm. And so, like, how can you expect a team that – of course, they're a 12.5-point dog.
Yeah.
You know, of course, they are when they shouldn't be. Of course, they're not ranked for the first time in 14 weeks, the longest they've been ranked consecutively since the 90s. Because the last month, they haven't looked like that team. They're turning the ball over. And for a team that doesn't have the kind of three-point shooting efficiency or ability as Auburn, or pick a different team because Auburn is better than everybody. Yeah. But, you know, they've got to be good like that. They have to be good defensively. They don't turn the ball over. And Ole Miss was so good for two-thirds of the year. This last month has been bad. So, obviously, Ole Miss is in the tournament. They're 24th in the net. They have a strong resume, no bad losses. They're not going to get left out with 8 SEC wins when the SEC's always been at its strongest. 9-9 will make you feel better. I doubt that that 9 comes against Auburn, but if it doesn't, there's no gimme left on the schedule, right? But for Ole Miss fans, there's no reason to panic. They're going to make the tournament. The problem is you talked yourselves into, well, this is more than just the team that gets back to the tournament. Oh, this is the team that can match the greatest all-time accomplishment in Ole Miss basketball history, one Sweet 16 appearance. Of course they can. They're top 10 in turnover differential. They're one of the best defensive teams. Their offense is generated by their defense, which is among the nation's elite. Hadn't been that way for a month, and it's been ugly. It has. I mean, and they played it in spurts, but what's really been holding them back all year, lack of rim protection, three-point inefficiency, it's coming. Those things are more glaring and more obvious now, as you're not winning games and you're not playing to the level in the areas in which you were supposed to be winning at this level. I mean, Sean Padula with 5 turnovers against Vanderbilt. Ole Miss is not going to win that game.
Yeah.
Not going to win that game. Not the way they're constructed. Malik Dia, the lack of physicality with Malik Dia, I mean, that's hurt them. The lack of any kind of physical ability at the rim right now has hurt them. So, yeah, they're not beating Auburn. By the way, did you see where, like, Auburn's average age is almost the same as the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Oh, my God.
It's true.
I think the world of Bruce Pearl. I think he's a really, really good coach. And taking advantage of whatever is left of eligibility, you know, quirks is very wise with college basketball. These teams that have experience, can overcome not playing together long. But ones that do have experience playing together, I mean, look out when you got what? Probably, I mean, their average age probably is 23, is I'm guessing.
23.2.
Oh, my gosh. Which, I mean, you probably got a 26-year-old on the roster.
Yeah.
I mean, probably, it was just one, at least. You know, I don't know.
The Thunder, with leading MVP candidate Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 24.2.
I guess he went one year, the average age,
24.2 for OKC. The average, and then, like, here's the thing.
Nipping right behind it. That'd be a good matchup.
Yeah, it is a good point, though. Ole Miss is the reason why it's had this turnaround in 1 year and is in the places, no bad losses, can make the tournament, will make the tournament, even if they lose out.
Yep.
Their resume is that strong. Now they'll end up on the 10-11 seed line, because they played like crap at the end of the year. They're on the 4 seed line to start February. Now they're down to a 7. See, they're just – it's all about seeding. This is what Chris Beers talked about when he got here. He said, I don't want to be talking about will they get in the NCAA tournament. We're fighting for seeding. That's where they are now. They're in the tournament. It's fighting for seeding, and they're shit in the bed, poop in the bed when it comes to seeding. You know what I mean? So, like, what made this team this good, though, is exactly what you're talking about. They had 10 seniors or 10, I mean, and multiple fifth-year seniors, guys who played a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
And those guys who know better are the ones that are costing them. You know, Sean Padula, one of the most accomplished players Virginia Tech's ever produced. scored 1,000 points at Virginia Tech, played buku games. I mean, five in a loss to Vanderbilt, that's on you, right? Yeah. So one side is experienced and playing to their capabilities. One is playing at their worst at the wrong time, but we know they got it in them. So, yeah, they could go beat Auburn. Well, I don't know. I don't think so, buddy.
I don't think anybody's beating Auburn. I mean, they could, but, you know,
man.
I can't wait for Ole Miss basketball to clip this tonight. But, look, the thing with the tournament, and this is where you look at what Ole Miss has done earlier in the season. Obviously, they're taking a dump as of late. Hey, still better than what you said, I guess. But the thing about March is you can if you get the right draw, if you even as a 10, as an 11, you get hot and all of a sudden you find yourself in maybe the Elite Eight. I mean, it can happen. And with a veteran team, that's where you hope Chris Beard and his experience, I'll add, doing that brings them to that level. And the good thing for Ole Miss is that we're going to be talking about this and seeding rather than NCAA tournament, you know, do's or don'ts for a while with Chris Beard in Oxford.
If he stays.
Oh gosh. I think he's staying.
Dun dun dun. Out of two.
Yeah.
But I disagree. Having talked to enough people, I've seen a general sentiment like, oh, Indiana's not, you know, he's not going to be a real candidate for them, or he's a lower list. I think they're absolutely coming after him. I think they're absolutely going to talk to him if they haven't talked
to him. Everything Indiana has done as of late has been brutal. So they should do their due diligence.
And here's what I'll say to Ole Miss fans. Number one, Ole Miss has long moved past the days of worrying about whether a coach leaves to go somewhere else. They can pay to go get any coach that they want. They have
the SEC.
They have the infrastructure in place, one of the better, more reliable NIL organizations in all of college sports. There's so much going right for them. If Chris were to leave, it doesn't matter. They'd go hire Will Wade and move on. You see what I'm saying? So, please. But I want Chris Beard. I do too.
I cover Will. All he does is win. It would be great.
Specifically, those LSU roots would come home. It'd be great.
I moved to Baton Rouge and came in at the tail end covering the Johnny Jones era. They proceeded to set an SEC record for losses that year. And that spring, they hire Will Wade. And honestly, covering him, one of the reasons why I was able to stick around as long as I did over there.
I'm saying it would be good for business.
It'd be good for business.
What would be better for Ole Miss if Chris Beard and the people I talk
winning,
to.
Winning is the best for business.
Yeah, and what the people I talk to say, yeah, I don't think he's going to go either. But it would be naive to dismiss the very real possibility because he could make it a non-story himself tomorrow, today. He won't because, like most coaches,
focused on the present.
Yeah, he's all. And when he's focused on the present, while his agency is making sure his future is secured, right? Yep. So, they talked to Arkansas last year.
Yeah,
I mean, it was very real. Arkansas wanted him; they wanted to hire him, and they'll say, "Oh no, John Calipari was our first choice."
Yeah, come on.
No, he won't.
Come on, Tyson Chicken. Settle down.
Calm down. No, Walmart. No. So it's just different now. I think Chris is a great coach, the best Ole Miss on paper has ever hired. He's done tremendous work. They're going to make the tournament. I think they can make a run. They start playing like themselves again. I think he's going to be here. But, again, it's a story until it's not.
Yep.
And what's very real is Indiana has interest. That is very real. The interest from Chris Beard – I think there is a curiosity just as there was with Arkansas and there will be with all openings. I mean, these are what most coaches do. Okay. Hugh Freeze did it with Florida. He did it with any number of schools. Hell, Houston Nutt did it with Kansas, you know?
Was it Bunky? No, I don't think it was Bunky. I don't want to give him credit, but somebody tweeted, it was a picture of Houston Nutt and John Calipari. Yes. It was John Calipari with future Arkansas AD Houston Nutt. I just thought it was so funny. Houston Nutt looks like an AD. He just looks like one.
He'd be perfect for it because now it's just about glad-handed. I mean, he's impossible not to like. Houston Nutt is impossible. You could tell when you're talking to him, he's like, he's a little bit of a skis bar, like he's underhanded or something, but he's like the most impossible guy to dislike, you know? And the fact that he was an Ole Miss head coach and like, that's crazy to me. Almost 20 years ago. And like, this man isn't returning to Ole Miss, you know, back-to-back Cotton Bowls, 50 years. He ain't coming back to celebrate Ole Miss sports. You know, he's still, because Arkansas is home. He got to Ole Miss without his curve or without his fastball, and Ole Miss paid the price. But yes, I saw that, and that was perfect. Both of those guys are perfect. Like, I love John Collins. I love those old school guys like that. I think they're hilarious, and I miss them. And they were at least honest about it.
I miss the suits on the sidelines. I've said this, I've said it again. Cal has some of the best suits. Rick Pitino is rocking the suit up in MSG still, which is wild.
See, I came up
speaking of scandals.
Well, I see, like, I came up with Andy Kennedy wearing pinstripes with Jordans, you know, like, but like, he also wouldn't care at all. He'd come out stepping out in like the coldest warm up suit to coach in. So, like, for me, I love the suits and everything. What I love the most is winning basketball. Chris Beard is not going to wear a suit. He's going to coach winning basketball. But Ole Miss is now in the business of winning basketball. 100%. It's not just in the Chris Beard business. It's not just in the Lane Kiffin business. It's in the business of winning at the highest level. The commitment has been made. They're bringing friggin' more luxury boxes. They have to. They're monetizing the Grove, you know. The future has arrived. It's here. Ole Miss, what Ole Miss is. There's no backsliding. Because if it backslides, it's over.
Yeah,
there's no backsliding.
All you have then is, and this is for many SEC teams, so don't, you know, people watching, don't take this the wrong way, but if you don't find ways to monetize, all you're going to have is that you're in the SEC.
Yeah,
but you're there.
You're there.
I mean, Vandy's Vandy for a number of reasons, but, and you're not going to be Vandy as Ole Miss, but like, you have to monetize it because otherwise there's just no way to build the rosters and the infrastructure, because eventually the infrastructure piece is going to continue to kind of come back around here. You know,
see, I like that Ole Miss is in the position of,
it's got the Manning Center.
Yeah, like, they're not in the cult of personality business anymore. Well, we've got to hold on to so and so to have relevancy. No, their infrastructure is strong enough and stronger than it's ever been as far as where the sport is and understanding the assignment, to where Ole Miss can go, okay, We're gonna pay you this, and we think the world of you, and we want to keep you. But you know, you get $10 million to go coach. I mean, that's just a cost assessment, right? Yep. The days of being caught up in the cult of personality days for Ole Miss are over. Now Lane used the cult of personality to build the program, and thank God he did. He's the perfect recipe in the early aughts to kind of bring this on, you know, or early 2020s to bring this on. But now Ole Miss is a place where it doesn't have to rely on that. You don't go, well, if Lane leaves, you got to go get Deion so that Ole Miss will stay relevant. Ole Miss is relevant.
Yeah.
Ole Miss pays relevant money. Ole Miss operates as a more than relevant program in all aspects. That's why baseball, there's such an urgency to win this year. Because, yes, you won a title in 2022, but that was not the mountaintop. That's not supposed to be the end final destination. That was supposed to be, Ole Miss has arrived for good. Good, you know, but
– yeah.
And then Mike did the one thing he never done, lose games in the regular season.
All right. Before we get to the recruiting quarter, do want to remind you guys about our friend Andy Ludicky. MyPerfectFranchise.net is where you can get his rundown on franchise ownership. And he can help you change your life, whether it be trying to get out of the corporate rat race to live the American dream, whether you want a little bit of a side hustle or build a legacy to leave your kids. Franchise ownership might be for you. And if you do go through Andy Ludicky and grab a franchise, he will donate money to Ole Miss Baseball's collective. So good reason to reach out to him and just have the conversation because it's free. Go to MyPerfectFranchise.net or give him a call, 404-973-9901, or email him andy@MyPerfectFranchise.net. to find out if franchise ownership is for you. And if it is, might mean a little extra coin for Ole Miss baseball to use in the portal or high school recruiting or what have you. So good news there, and good news for some Mississippi prospects as they saw a couple of boosts in the latest On3 industry, or the On300 being updated on Monday. And a couple of updates here on official visitors that have been locked in. One is now a Mississippi wide receiver who is in five-star range, Ben, and that is Jace Matthews out of Greene County. He's now the 26th overall prospect in the country, the number three wide receiver in America. Really, really talented young man. I got the chance to talk with him Monday morning before the rankings were updated, and he told me that he's locked in an Ole Miss official visit. He'll be on campus May 30th, then trip to Auburn June 6th, and Texas A&M June 13th, and Miami June 20th. So a little bit of a robust recruitment there. Ole Miss battling some of the big spenders on the recruiting front, as is Ole Miss, but a Mississippi kid, a guy who grew up a fan of Ole Miss and has the opportunity now to go there. So we'll see if he follows through with that. Another Mississippi prospect that moved up is Nolan Wilson. Four-star prospect is now right in five-star territory as well for On3, the number 31 overall prospect in the country. Number three defensive lineman out of Picayune Memorial. Number three prospect in the state of Mississippi. He has an official visit set June 13th. He'll get to Texas A&M May 16th, be at Alabama May 30th, Auburn June 6th, and USC June 20th. I tell you this, this is a massive priority for Randall Joyner to get this one across the finish line. He's been a really high-end prospect for a while. He's moved up now from the 56th overall prospect in the country to five-star range. He's a disruptive edge defender. He can also, in my opinion, just looking at him, can maybe pack on some weight, maybe play inside on some passing downs or something like that, and be a little bit of a three tech at some point in his career, but a really high-end prospect that Ole Miss is all over there. And then another big riser in the rankings was Landon Duckworth, who hasn't said an official visit yet that we know of, but expect him to take an official visit to Ole Miss as the Rebels are, you know, leading the way there from what it seems like on his recruitment. He's now the 121st overall prospect in the country on three, top 10 quarterback out of Jackson, Alabama. Charles Power really likes his upside, our national director of scouting and rankings. And Ole Miss battling the likes of Georgia, South Carolina, Florida State, and others there. But Lane Kiffin and company have really teed themselves up well. Wouldn't shock me if he is one of the quarterbacks in this class of 2026, because I think they take two if they can. And lastly, but certainly not least, a little five-star teaser here, a guy who ranks as the number 10 overall prospect now in the country, number one player in Texas, the fourth-ranked offensive tackle in America, and that is Felix Ojo. I saw him at the Under Armour Dallas camp a couple weeks ago now. Really, really impressive prospect. Just incredible, I think, strength for being 6'6", 275. He can add some mass and end up being a really consistent starting left tackle. Would probably be, you know, has the opportunity to be a first-round pick in the end. But Texas is the On3 RPM leader, but Ole Miss will host him April 18th for an official visit. He'll get to Ohio State, Michigan, and Oklahoma as well. So some huge recruiting battles to kind of update you guys on to round out the show here, Ben.
Felix Ojo from Mansfield. Ole Miss signed. God, who came from Mansfield? You could probably look this up, because like, this is, Texas has been fertile recruiting territory for Ole Miss in the past. Of course, I'm still stuck in like the 2010s when Greg Little signed, when they went and got Jalen Jones from there. Who was the quarterback? Devontae Kincaid.
Oh, yeah.
Devontae played at Skyline.
Yep. I remember him. I think I was in college then. Kyron Heath?
Kyron Heath, the tight end. He never really was anything that transferred out. There was one other one, though, that I think was like Cedric Woods, maybe? No, he came from Florida.
Jalen Knox?
Jalen, I didn't know Jalen's Knox from Mansfield. Just saying, yep. little Mansfield pipeline.
Mansfield Timberview in Arlington, but we're getting there. We're getting there. We might have to circle back for this. A good mailbag for us to figure out on this one.
We do need to do a mailbag soon. Like, we should do a mailbag as our next live show.
Let's do it. Guys, jump in the comments on this show. If you guys want us to answer your questions, comment there, reply back on Twitter where we tweeted out the link, or most importantly, Ben, head over to the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com. Join us for just a dollar to kick things off. That is the way to jump on the site and ask us questions all day.
all day. And I come to you every single time I do Talk of Champions from the Riverland Roofing Studios. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. I love these people, man. They've been so good to me for over a year. Billy Landis and the crew do a tremendous job, and they help out Ole Miss and Ole Miss sports and Ole Miss's NIL space. So give them your business, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. The little house up top that, because I'm in a shorter chair now, you can't really see anymore. I got to solve this, you know. Like, I like my little house, Bill. I like my little house.
It's way up there on the prairie.
Way up there up there on the hill, boy. I get up there.
All right, Ben Garrett. I'm Billy Embody. Guys, thanks for listening to this live edition of Talk of Champions. Follow, like, subscribe, all the things. We appreciate all you guys who are following us along. And head over to omspirit.com for more. Appreciate you guys listening. We'll catch you guys next time.
Come on, Mary Kate.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.